Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning into our show is about informative entertainment, and we try to do that in a fun, upbeat style, which means that I only try to get fun, upbeat people. But sometimes a sleeper slips through. But we don't have a sleeper today. We've got Jack McEnroth. But we're going to talk about that in a minute. Now, we'll provide you with tips and advice and resource information on how to pursue a career in show business. That's what we're mainly about. However, we do get people on the show that are not in the entertainment business, but very rare. But when I bring them on, they're very, very important, as we did last week with Sylvia Allen of Sylvia's Children. So now we have guests that work in various professions of the entertainment industry. So that means that we are definitely going to have someone from a career that you are interested in. So you got to tune in every week. I try to give little sneak peeks of who's going to be on the show, but I like to force you to just listen. So you just have to listen and see who's going to be on. If you want to know who's going to be on the show in the future, which kind of contradicts what I just said, but I only send emails out with little snippets. You actually have to go through a whole bunch of work and go to the website to see who's on there. But you can go to our official website, which is questionreality.us. not .com, questionreality.us. And it's usually we book our show a year in advance, so you'll be able to see way in advance who the guests are. And if you want to check out any of the past guests, read their bios, listen to any of the previous shows, you can do that. If you're on the LA Talk Radio website right now listening, if you look up at the top under Schedule 1, you will see a link. You click on that link and you look for the show Question Reality in the time slot of Sunday at 5. You click the link and it'll take you directly to our archive page, the Question Reality archive page. And there you can peruse at your own leisure and check out the shows. We have Emmy Award winning directors. We have Clio Award winners. We have Emmy Award winners. We have the top people. These are top people in the profession. So you definitely want to listen to their advice. Now, we'd love for you to call in and ask questions and provide any comments that you want for the guests on the show. They can take it. They can handle it. If not, I have a little 20-second delay thing, so you're not going to get through with nasty, so don't even call. Okay, so we want you to call in. Yeah, Jack wants that, but I don't want that. Jack likes nasties. We ask that you call in between 5:20 and 5:30, and that's to give the guests a little bit of time to acclimate to the show. And when you call in, your calls come to us directly. There's no Frasier-type situation here. Roz will not be answering the line and screening you come directly and talk to Jack. Jack is back, and he's never been here, but Jack's on the line. You'll get to talk to Jack directly, right? So the call-in number is right in front of you if you're on the LA Talk Radio website. But just in case, it's area code 323. If you're listening to this on iTunes or podcast, then this is the number to call in. Area code 323-203-0815. And again, you can find us, you can download all of our shows or listen to us in the podcast section of iTunes. So we're spreading out all over the place. We're all over. All right. Now, as I said, we have a fantastic guest for you today. You heard a little bit of his wonderful laugh as I was doing my little intro. His name is, now you're going to love this name. I mean, who has this name? I think this is a fake name. I'm going to have to ask him about this because this name is too perfect. It's Jack McEnroth. Woo! Now, first of all, I think McEnroth is Irish. I'm Irish, so I'm going to have to ask him about that. Jack McEnroth is here with us today. And if you are a Project Runway fan, let me just tell you, Jack McEnroth is most notably known for, well, he's a New York-based award-winning fashion designer. but he was also a leading contestant on Project One Runway Season 4. Now, Jack, among his perfections, is a competitive swimmer. He's won 8 medals last month. I don't know if it was last month because my information is a little old, but he'll tell us when it was. But he won 8 medals. That's the whole point at the World Out Games and breaking records at the Masters World Championships in Stanford, California. And from what I understand, Jack recently finished shooting a pilot for a new fashion-themed TV show. And he's also the East Coast correspondent for Fashion News Live. And as if the man doesn't have enough to do, I don't know how he does this. I guess he's swimming it on the cell phone at the same time. I don't know how he does it. We're going to have to ask him. He's got like the Bluetooth in his ear. He is the founder of Living Positive by Design, which is his very own HIV/AIDS education campaign. So when I was so excited, everybody, when I found out from Jack's PR guy, Steve Levine of the Grapevine PR agency, that he was one of the clients, I said, oh my God, I will absolutely die of anxiety if I can't have that beautiful specimen of the male species on my radio show. Now, if you guys got my emails, you know I hooked up the picture. And you know you're like, oh, my God. Most of the email questions came from women, of course, obviously. But he's not feeling you. Don't even bother. Don't even bother. You're out. You're out. You're, as Tim would say, you're out. Okay. So, Jack, thank you so much for agreeing to be on my, I guess, on my show.
Oh, my God, you are friggin' hilarious. I love it.
No. Well, you're gorgeous, so we're a good team, right? Now, I have so many things that I want to ask you and questions that I received, again, via email when fans of the show found out you were coming on. I don't know if we're going to have enough time, but let's just give it a shot. I mean, we're going to just try. First of all, I want to say that I have only recently become a viewer of Project Runway, and that's not because I didn't want to. It's only because when it started to air on the Lifetime channel, I was able to get it because we only have basic cable over here. My husband's cheap. And because there are too many shows that I'm obsessed with already. I'm like a reality show maniac. And if I were to subscribe to more cable shows, I'd be glued to the damn TV 24 hours a day. And, you know, I have to exhibit some discipline in one aspect of my life because eating healthy, unfortunately, that's not on the list. But speaking of discipline in the eating area, may I say that you are one of the most gorgeous men that I have ever seen in my lifetime. I was like, oh my God, I was requesting you to be a friend on Facebook so that you could get some of the fan comments, and you had the profile picture of you on the cover of Refresh magazine, and down the bottom it said Golden Boy something. It was too small and I couldn't read it and I couldn't make it bigger. I'm like, I want this picture to be 24 by 36. I want it to be 900 by 900, but the damn thing wouldn't get bigger. So I couldn't read why you were the Golden Boy on Refresher magazine, but we're going to find out why. Now, your skin is absolutely gorgeous. I don't know if that's Photoshop or if it's for real. Even my husband was taken aback at your appearance. He said, that is not right. He makes all men look like second-class citizens. So I have to... You know, I have to ask you, what the hell is the secret to your overall beauty? I have to know, because you're just beautiful. Let's use the feminine word beautiful, because you are a damn beauty.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, I really appreciate that. I have to give props to my mom. I got really good genes. Mm-hmm. I do, you know, I take care of myself. I work on it. You know, I take care of my skin. I'm 40 now, so... you know, and I know, so part of that is, you know, they don't put you on a magazine cover without Photoshop. So my, you know, I'm not going to say how good or good looking I am, but, yeah, you know, I mean, it's the basis of it is real, and then there's a little Photoshop on top.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're in such excellent physical condition, and I wanted to talk about that later when it comes to you looking as good as you do and how you keep yourself looking like that in relation to being the founder of Living Positive by Design, which is your HIV/AIDS education campaign, because you just look fantastic, and I wanted to know,
you
know, how does one look that good, keep himself so healthy looking, you know, under those conditions, because you are HIV positive and you started this education campaign. And I know that a lot of, because I have a lot of friends who have HIV, and they don't look as healthy as you do. And I would like to know what it is, what can one do to keep looking when they are HIV positive? How can you keep yourself looking as, you know, great as you do, as healthy as you do? Because that is a major, major thing with staying healthy, feeling healthy as well. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I do take care of myself. I mean, I've been HIV positive for 20 years, and hopefully, I mean, back then I've been through a lot of stages of treatments, and you know, there have been various, you know, for different people, there have been various scenarios on how that affects your appearance and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you know, in the best case scenario, the treatments are very effective and the side effects are fairly low. So, you know, having HIV at this point and looking a certain way, that doesn't necessarily go hand in hand.
Okay.
Which is a great thing. I mean, I myself happen to be a competitive swimmer, like you said. I think the article in Refresh magazine, that's a British magazine, actually, and I think there's Golden Boy. I haven't read the article yet because it's technically actually not out. They just sent me the cover picture.
Oh.
But I think it's about swimming and winning medals and just taking care of my health, and I think they do talk about livingpositivebydesign.com and how I have managed my own health and HIV and done what I've done. And but I do. Like you said, I work out a lot. I go to the gym probably every day. When I'm training really hard for a particular competition, I swim, you know, an hour and a half a day. So I do all those things. And, you know, just genetically, my mom gave me some good genes.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I was just wondering if there was any certain vitamins that you were taking. Is there any certain workout regimen? Is there any certain mentality that you have? I mean, other than you obviously having Julius Caesar genes, which you obviously have the genes of the gods, but for us more mere mortals and other people who are not as lucky, what would you recommend as a healthy regimen, especially if you have health-related issues?
Well, it's so funny that you say that, because, of course, every person who – it's easy to look at someone else and really appreciate physical attributes. I, of course, you know, have lived with this body for however long, and I don't see what everyone else sees necessarily, but I appreciate your compliments. I think it's you know, a combination of living well, eating well, you know, all the things that you read about, hydrating, taking care of your skin, staying out of the sun. I do work out a lot. If you want to have a athletic, muscular body, that's pretty much, I mean, there's no shortcuts really. So I do all the things. I mean, I've been working out in the gym for 16 years, so I think something's paid off at this point.
So you would obviously say that it is very necessary and vital for anyone, of course, should work out and take care of themselves, of course. But is getting energy a factor being HIV positive? A lot of my friends who are HIV positive say that they cannot muster up the strength to get into the gym. And I, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't really know. I can't give advice in that. But for someone who is, do you find that, you know, that it's kind of a catch-22? You got to get into the gym to get energy, you know, get started. How would you, what advice would you give for
others? I think that's true. I mean, and I think there are certain medications that cause anemia and cause, and so it can be difficult for people. And I obviously am not a doctor as well, but mm-hmm. I do think that it can be a catch-22 because there are a lot of medications that can make you tired. And but at the same time, for me at least, going to the gym, I mean, I don't love it. I'm not one of those people that says, oh yeah, I love working out. I like the results. It's become sort of a social activity for me too. I know a lot of the people that go to the gym, I've gone to the same gym for a long time. It makes me feel good. And also being strong, physically strong, makes me feel strong. And I think you mentioned earlier about attitude, and I try to have a positive attitude, and granted, we all have our crappy days. We all have our days where we don't want to get out of bed, and I just try to look on the bright side and find the positive in whatever I do. And I think all that as a whole, and working out and taking care of myself and taking my medication and all that stuff, you know, filters into the whole lifestyle.
Oh, okay. I had you on mute there because apparently people are calling in, and Ronan wants to know when to transfer calls. So I do want to talk to you a little bit more before they start coming in. So I am telling Ronan, hold on, Ronan. Hold on. I want to get a little bit more information. So I have to type to him via Skype. That's why I had you on mute. But
no problem.
Now, what part of, I know that you started Living Positive by Design, and you can find out more about his website, Living Positive by Design. I think it's myspace.com and then / Living Positive by Design. Do you also have a website, livingpositivebydesign.com?
Yeah, you can. Here, I'll give you my quick bio of all the crap that I'm doing. So, Living Positive by Design is this great partnership with Merck, and it's an HIV education campaign about fighting the stigma of HIV. And then for HIV positive people, it's really a roadmap for I think when you have an HIV diagnosis, a lot of people don't have a lot of information. And so it provides kind of a roadmap of, you know, getting your viral load tested and going to the doctor and all the things that you should do. So that's livingpositivebydesign.com. I have my own website, jackmcenroth.com, where you can pretty much find out all about me. I'm on Facebook. And actually, it's funny that you mentioned my name. And I'll tell you that quick story as well. Jack McEnroth used to be it's a family name, and it was my middle name. And my full name was Jack McEnroth Christopher Kietzer, which actually McEnroth is German, believe it or not.
Oh,
and so
my
when
God.
I wanted when I wanted to become a clothing designer, a fashion designer, and moved to New York, I was like, that's too long, and I don't like that last name. It's ugly. So I just dropped it all. I legally changed it to Jack McEnroth. So, but I'm the only one in the world, as far as I know. So if you put in Jack McEnroth, everything that comes up with my name is me.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I love the name. I think that was a great call. Now, as you just said, you got so many things going on. We're going to have to try to touch base on everything. But let's talk about you. I know that you're a New York-based award-winning fashion designer. Why don't you tell us how you knew that you wanted to be a fashion designer, or how did you know? Who were some of your influences growing up? And tell us what led you down the path. But stop before you get to my Project Runway, because I have some juicy questions from the viewers on that.
Okay. Well, basically, I've been a fashion designer for 15 years, and how did I start? I taught myself to sew when I was about 13. On my grandmother's sewing machine, and I just was playing around with it. And then I, you know, through high school, I started making my own clothes and altering my pants. I was kind of a new waver, kind of club kid, whatever, and I was just making crazy clothes. And then I went off to college. I went actually to UC Berkeley, and I was pre-med, believe it or not, for 2.5 years. I know.
Wow. Don't tell me, was it plastic surgery or neurosurgery?
I never specialized. I didn't get that far.
Okay.
I didn't get that far. But so I was taking a lot of art classes on the side, and I was, you know, there was no fashion design at Berkeley, obviously, but I was just making my own clothes, and then I was doing a lot of artwork, and I ended up being a fine arts major. And then my senior year, I was like, what the hell do I want to do with my life? So I was like, I always wanted to live in New York. So I moved to New York and went to Parsons Design School, and It's kind of the rest is history. I started, my first design job was at Tommy Hilfiger. I worked there for about a year and a half, working directly under his sister, Ginny Hilfiger. I worked at a ton of companies that you'd never heard of that just, we made clothes for Middle America. I worked at Vera Wang for a little while. And I just worked my way up the totem pole of, you know, starting as a peon little intern and then an assistant designer and then a design associate. And then by the time Project Runway came around, I'd been working at a company called Weatherproof as the design director for 4 years. So I was, people are always like, oh, did Project Runway make your career? I'm like, actually, no, I was doing really well for myself before the show came along. I just thought it was sort of I was a huge fan of the show, and I know you said you only watched this season because it was on Lifetime, but you should really you should get the DVDs for the first four seasons.
Oh, I absolutely am.
They're really, really, really good. And I was addicted. As soon as the first season came on, I was totally addicted. And so then I auditioned actually for season three, and I didn't make it because I was actually primarily a menswear designer. And it's mainly a women's wear show. They tried to do a menswear challenge on our season, and it was a complete flop. But so I didn't think I'd be able to make it on the show because I don't have a lot of experience doing women's clothes. But
qualifications? When you applied for it, did they make you? How did they? I can't talk. I'm like flipping out here. I got so many questions. I'm like, what were the qualifications that you had to have? Did you have to not only have gone to fashion school, but did you also have to bring in samples? I mean, what made you eventually become a final contestant on the show?
Well, what happens is first you fill out this crazy, like, 30-page application, and they ask you every question from, like, your favorite color to your favorite designer to your experience. You actually don't have to have any technical design experience, so there's no qualifications in that sense. But then you have to go to one of the live in-person auditions, and there's several throughout the country whenever they do it. And I went to the one in New York. And then you do have to bring in three original outfits that you designed and made yourself. They suggest you bring in a model, so I had a model with me wearing one of the outfits, and there's several levels of judging. And producers come and talk to you, and sometimes if they don't like you right away, there was a huge long line of people, and they were just going through and telling people not to go home. And then they had another panel of gen art people, which is a whole art institution, I can't think of the word, but anyway, so they review your garments, and then they put you in a room, and then you go in through a panel of, like, Tim Gunn's there, and prior contestants, and someone from Elle, which now it's Marie Claire, I believe. Then they judge you, and if they think you're good enough, then you make another cut, and then you have to make a video, and then, trust me, like an FBI person, you do a background check, and you have a personality exam, and we had to go to a psychiatrist and get analyzed. I swear to God, we had to, it was crazy. They knew stuff about me that I had forgotten, long forgotten. And it was crazy. It was like the craziest background check I've ever been through. Because then you sign your life away. Then you sign this crazy contract that says you can't talk about the show while you're on it. And, like, you know, for a year, every press interview I did had to go through NBC, which was, because at the time it was up on Bravo, which was owned by NBC. And I mean, it's just insane. You know, people that go on reality TV sign their life away. We totally sign our life away. And you just want the exposure. I really went on it for, I wanted to go to Bryant Park. That would have been great. That's the ultimate goal. But I just looked at it as an adventure. I was like, I'll be 40 soon. And this is something I'd never done, and I didn't really think of, like, TV was never really an aspiration for me. And then all of a sudden, this amazing show came along, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I love it.
I wanted you did such a phenomenal job describing what the process is getting onto a reality show. And I have been asked to be on so many different reality television shows, and I have a couple of friends who are casting directors for some of the top reality shows. And I saw, they sent me a packet. My friend Alex, I won't say what she cast for, but she sent me, she's like, oh my God, you're so funny. You got to be on my show. You got to be on my show. Let me send you a packet. I'm like, sure. I got that damn packet. It was as thick as a telephone pack, and they had this psychological profile, and then exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing. Every reality show does it, yet you've got a show like Rock and Love where they're beating the hell out of each other, ripping each other. You know those girls are not right. You know those bitches are crazy as shit, and yet they had them go through this psychological profile. Isn't that a trip?
Well, I think it's, you know, I had a couple friends that were going through the process with me, and we weren't supposed to know that each other were doing it because it's all confidential and hush hush, but we just thought it was hilarious, and I was like, you know what? In this, because we had to take this standardized 700 question psychological profile.
Yeah.
And it took like 4 days. It was insane. And then, you know, and I was thinking, do they want me to be normal or insane? I can't tell. Because they want good TV. They want good TV, and they want some psycho people, because otherwise it would be boring.
That's true. And I remember one reality show. So then she's like, okay, we'll get you. And then my other friend said, oh, I got this new show. I want you to come on. And I went, and I knew there was going to be this testing. I'm like, okay. But then they were asking me questions about history. And I'm like, what in the hell does that have to do with a game show? And I just thought, well, I think that's to satisfy some sort of legalities that they have to at least say they gave you the test, but maybe you were secretly high. You were able to front the lie detector test. I'm surprised they don't have you do a lie detector test, actually, because they do have you fill out an extensive psychological profile, for sure. And then they get these crazy people, and it ends up being good television. So I'm really perplexed with that, Jack. I really am.
Well, I would just say to anyone who's thinking about going on any kind of reality show, like, And Project Runway and shows like American Idol that are talent-based are at least fairly realistic, because you're showing a product, and that's hard to produce in a negative light or however. But anyone who's considering going on to a reality show, all that you're guaranteed is exposure. You're not guaranteed. You could be the nicest person in the world, and they could make it skew it. So, you know, they do voiceovers, they edit it really thoroughly. You never know. You can't control it. So
you can come out looking like Omarosa, right?
Yeah, exactly. And if they get a little bit of psycho, and then they'll make you into the biggest bitch of TV history. So that's why, I mean, now I've just did a design show. I'm working on another show, and I'm on the production side, because it's like, I want to control what's being put out there. You know.
Right. Well, see, I didn't see, of course, Project Runway season 4, but I, you know, tell me a little bit about it. I mean, first of all, I have to ask this. Oh my God. Now, is Heidi Klum really that intense in person? Because she scares me. She scares me. I swear to God, I saw her. I'm like, wow, she's like a vampirist. I mean, she's got these really intense eyes, and she seems really intense. I was a little scared. As a matter of fact, I have to look away to this day.
Sure.
I can't look her directly in the eye, and it's through the damn television. So
I'm like, my God.
I gotta ask Jack, what is up? Is she that intense, or is there medication involved?
You know, I don't really see that. I do think when she's judging, she takes it very seriously, because she's a producer on the show now as well. But she's actually really adorable. I actually just covered the Victoria's Secret fashion show. I did the pink carpet for Fashion News Live. And I interviewed her, and she's actually really goofy and hilarious and totally funny. And she's not, I mean, I think when they're judging, they all play a role, and they're supposed to be critical.
Uh-huh.
She kind of looks at the design. She knows nothing about fashion, and she will readily admit it. She knows about modeling and wearing clothes, but that she doesn't know about construction. That's fine. But so she's really nice. She was one of the friendlier judges.
I definitely wasn't saying she wasn't. I was just talking about those eyes. They're really intense, and I was wondering if she, like, could look through you, and it made you feel like she was staring through your soul. I mean, I'm sure she's a nice person. I definitely have seen that aspect when she was doing the second show, which is the Models of the Runway. So she's definitely a little bit more loose and more carefree, and you can tell she's a nice person. But I was just wondering about those eyes, because they're really intense. So I'm wondering if that's just an editing thing that they did to make her seem much more serious.
I think that's editing. Fortunately, you didn't see our season, but I was never in the bottom three, and I actually won one of the challenges, and then I actually left halfway through the season. That's a long story, but I won't get into it. I got a staph infection. I had to leave. Anyway, So
she's not really, like, she doesn't stare at you and, like, make you...
No, she's not googly-eye crazy or anything like that.
Okay, so Tim Gunn, let me just tell you, in my eyes, he is just a little piece of cupcake love to me, okay? Cupcake love. I love this man. I adore him so much. Now, my question is, how involved is he allowed to get with his advice to the designers? Because I noticed that he gives, and again, I just have seen season six, I noticed that he gives more advice to some than others, and I was just wondering, is that just based on his decision of that person needing more help with their vision, or, I mean, can he...
No, that is totally editing. So basically what happens is Tim will come in, and when we're in the workroom, there's six camera crews that just rove around. So when we're just really working, they don't tell us to do anything, or they basically give us a challenge and say, okay, you have till midnight, go. So at a certain point, Tim will come in, and they'll be like, Jack, it's your turn to talk to Tim. And he talks to everyone, and he talks to us for about a half an hour, and, you know, saying, like, this looks like crap, and you should change this, and this is really good, or whatever. And then what happens is, you know, they start off with 15 designers or 14, or I don't even remember how many. But obviously, in a half an hour show, they can only really focus on, like, a few. So what they do is, if you'll notice, and I watch the show differently now because I know how it works, they focus on the people that are in the top three and the bottom three. So you can tell who's going to be in the top three or the bottom three. You don't know which is which necessarily by who Tim talks to, because the rest of the people they don't show, even though he talks to all of us throughout the day.
I didn't get that.
The other thing that's kind of a secret about Project Runway is Tim is great and wonderful, and I love him to death. However, it always seems like whatever Tim says is what happens on the runway. He's like, it's like he's this all-knowing, omniscient god of fashion. And what really how they do it is, he talks to us for so long, they back at it. So whatever the judges say, they'll find something in Tim's critique that matches up. So it always looks like the advice that he gives us is what we should have done, regardless. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, I saw that. Now that you're saying it, I mean, I didn't know that prior to the show, but now that you're saying it, I can totally see what happened with incidents on Project Runway Season 6. I thought, oh my God, Tim was so right on that. Oh yeah, Tim is awesome. Oh, Tim, little cupcake butter love, you are just rocking and rolling. Yeah, so now that I know that for sure. Now, I have another question. Let's talk about the accessory wall. Now, do they change that out for every challenge, or does it stay the same?
Well, our season, it depends on who the sponsor is, for one. So our season, they left, it was the same, which was kind of, it was interesting. They had a lot of selections. They wouldn't change it out. What I thought that was unfair was that the girls, the female designers, could use their own accessories. So whatever they brought, they could use jewelry, whatever. Mm-hmm. We had the male designers, unless we were drag queens, had to use what was on the wall. So, but the stuff was pretty good. I mean, it was pretty good. They had some nice stuff. Like, okay. Blue Fly, was it Blue Fly our season? I think Blue Fly was our sponsor. I can't remember who it is. I didn't really watch this season that closely, but But yeah, so there's a ton of crap. We never worried about that.
Okay, that question came from Alan from Minnesota. So the next question is from Susan from another Minnesota. Oh, okay.
I was born in Minnesota.
I thought you were born in Seattle. I don't know.
I moved to Seattle when I was like 1 year old or something. But I was born in Minnesota.
That's probably why I'm getting all these people from Minnesota with these questions. I was like, wow, a lot of people.
Oh my god, are friggin' hilarious! I love you. You're so funny.
Thank you. Maybe I can get to touch that skin in the future. We're gonna talk about that. Now, the winning clothes. Let's see. She says the winning clothes. Where do they go? Do they get them back? That is the question.
No, that's an interesting thing as well. After every challenge, they take everything. They take our illustrations, our sketches, any fabric we use, any trims, and then they take our final garment and they auction it all off. And at least, I don't know what they've done with Lifetime, but when they were on Bravo, after every episode, they would have auctions. And so for example, I know my sketch from the very first challenge, someone bought it for $75 because they emailed me and said, oh my god, I won your sketch. And so they sell every little thing that they can sell. We don't see them ever again.
Those greedy bastards. Wow.
Yeah, totally.
I wonder where that money goes. I'm going to have to do some investigating. Okay, this question comes from Claire. Oh my god, not from Minnesota again. I really didn't know all these questions. Wow. Okay, here we go. Oh, Claire. All right. Do you agree with Heidi Klum's tagline for the show of as you know in fashion, one day you're in, the next day you're out?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. They always say another famous phrase in fashion is that you're only as good as your last collection. And I think that's kind of true. I think hardcore fashionistas are very fickle, and you can be the hot commodity one season, and then you have a really crappy collection, and people are like, oh, whatever, he's tired, or it's over, and they move on to the next thing, because there's a million fashion designers in the world that always want a piece of the action. So if you're not on your game all the time, it's kind of true. I don't know if it's one day you're in and the next day you're out, unless you're Kanye West. Kanye West, did you make a really bad move? But
that might be Heidi Klum's specific intense statement there. One day you're in, next day you're out.
Right. I don't think it's that severe. I don't think it's that severe, but it is kind of true. It's like if you don't keep on your game, you know.
Yeah, that's with anything. So, that could apply to anything in any job, I think. Okay, this comes from Karen in Baltimore, Maryland. She says, did you watch the show this season, season 6? Did you agree with the winner being Arena?
I did. Actually, I did watch the show. You'll have to go back and watch the DVDs from prior seasons, because this season was a little bit boring. And I don't know if that has to do with Lifetime or the talent, but I did definitely think that Irina was the clear winner. And I happened to be in the tents during the final collections, because they invite us all back. And I saw the top three collections, so we didn't know who the designers were yet, because it was... there was the whole shift from Bravo to Lifetime, and there was a huge delay. So they actually shot that segment way before the show was even on the air. So the designers didn't come out like they normally do. And I don't know how the hell they edited that on TV to make it. They must have done something before, and the designers came out and addressed the crowd, and then they showed the final collections. But when we saw them, all of us were sitting together, all the former designers were sitting together in this one particular section. And we were like, I don't know who the third collection was, but it was clearly the winner. Absolutely. It was so much better than the other two.
Yes.
And I mean,
it was so cohesive. It was so cohesive. It told a story, even though it was all black. It was the best. It was a collection. It wasn't fragmented like the rest of them, I think.
Right. And they edit it on TV. They make it look like it's a little bit closer, and that they each have their great things and not so great things. And there were a few good things in the other ones, but we all were like, I was sitting with like Christian for my season and a few other people, and we were all like, oh my God, obviously number three is the winner.
Oh, yeah. You saw, and then they made poor Arena look like, they called her Mina Arena. They made her look like she was mean. I don't know if you watched the show, but they had all the other, they made her look mean. I just think she was very determined and focused, and she clearly, I mean, from way on, I had never watched the show before, and as soon as I saw her very first design, I said, that girl is going to win. I just knew it, and I'm very good at guessing these things, so I just knew it. So, Arena, you go, girl. Okay, this comes from Larry, again, Baltimore, Maryland. Okay, who was your favorite designer on the show from season 6, and why? Oh, we don't know that because you didn't watch it that much.
No, I did watch it. I just wasn't as obsessed. Okay. You know, my favorite, actually, the only one that I've met in person is Christopher, who was the guy with the little, like,
yeah, I loved him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's adorable in person, and I really like some of his stuff. He was kind of hit and miss. Early on, I really liked, I pronounce his name wrong, but the African-American guy named Ramon Laurence or whatever.
Epperson? Or no?
Ramon Laurence, I think.
Oh, yeah. I remember him. Yeah.
I think he has some good stuff. And I did really like Irina. I really liked a lot. Yeah. I loved her paper shawl collar jacket that she made. And
yeah. I loved her Colorado thing, you know, with the whole, it was like the Colorado.
The ski resort thing.
Yeah. I really loved that. I mean, she really hooked up the elegant and the chic. And then she could also do the everyday wear. She really was quite original, I really think. I think she hooked up some really good pieces. Was she the one? It was one of them that loved fur. I don't remember who it was, but they were always patching some damn fur together. Who was that?
She did a lot.
In the fur? Oh, because I was like, I love the fur, but it's a little bit much, but she didn't patch it all together. She just put a little fur here and a little fur there, so it kind of worked out. She brought the whole caveman fur bunga cowabunga thing going on. I loved it. Okay, so it's 5:41. We got like 9 minutes. I want to get everything. I might not be able to get all these questions. I'm going to just pick and choose randomly. Okay, this is a good one. Was there anyone on the show in any project runway season that their fashion designs are similar to yours, and or what are your designs most similar to that we would know as a mainstream fashion designer?
My designs, actually, I'm not avant-garde at all. I mean, I can make crazy stuff, but I come from a total sportswear background.
Okay.
Tim asked me this when I was auditioning for the show. He was like, who would your designs stand next to on the sales floor? And I was like, okay. I said my response was Ann Taylor and Diane von Furstenberg. I'd be like, somewhere in between those two. I'm not as fabulous as Diane von Furstenberg, and I'm not as mass market as Ann Taylor, but I'm very wearable. I love prints. I don't do anything super crazy. I totally make clothes that are for your everyday woman that, you know.
If somebody wanted to see a Jack McEnroth fashion line or design, do you have your own store? Do you have your own line? Where would someone be able to say, I want a Jack McEnroth design? Where would we go? What would we do?
Well, what you would do is you'd be really frustrated right now because, I mean, you can see all of my men's and women's portfolios on jackmcenroth.com,
okay.
But I right now I'm doing so much TV stuff, which we can delve into a little bit, but I just don't have time. I mean, people I don't think that are in just not really affiliated with fashion design,
okay,
don't know how much time it takes. It's like all consuming. So if I was going to do my own line, I'd really do it right, and I would quit all my other projects and I would just focus on that. So right now I'm just, it's kind of on the back burner. I do kind of do weird little design projects for people here and there, but I don't have my own line right now. So,
well, if anybody wants a line, go to jackmcenroth.com and you could probably model for him. I'm thinking about flying on over there and getting myself a little design, have him sculpt me down. Yeah, I need that hem a little tighter, Jack. Get those scissors and needle, patching up, squeezing down. Okay, so let's talk about what are you doing now. I know you just finished shooting a pilot for a design show, or what are you
doing?
Yeah,
Kevin Christiana, who was a designer on my season, he was the one lone straight guy. He basically, everyone thought he looked kind of like Joey Fatone. We did a design show for the Style Network. I guess I can't say the name. But anyways, it was a makeover show, and we had a Project Runway element. It was very cute. And we went all the way through the pilot, and then they decided that they were going to there's two shows that they picked instead of ours. I guess they were developing 9 projects for 2 slots. Anyway, so it's still really cute, and we're pitching it, and, you know, it may have a life still. But in the interim, I started doing another show. It's called The Queens of Drag NYC, and you can go to thequeensofdrag.com, and it just has a synopsis of, like, all the... It's basically the top 10 working drag queens in New York, and it's about what it takes to be successful and make your living as a drag queen. And we film them in drag and out of drag, and it's just a reality show about their lives. And so it's amazing. It's all the top. It's Lady Bunny, Hedda Lettuce, like people that know the drag community in New York will know all of them.
I think the world should know all of them. I personally love drag queen shows. Oh my God, you can't get enough of Madonna in drag. I tell you that. So how could we, and Liza Minnelli, of course, how can we get this show to go mainstream? How can we?
Well, basically, what we're doing is we filmed the pilot already. We're in the process of editing. We're doing this sort of interesting reverse grassroots marketing campaign where usually when you're working on a show, everything's confidential and hush-hush because people don't want you to steal their idea. But
right.
We already have all the talent locked down, and so they can't copy us because we already have all the talent, and you can't do a show about drag queens without the drag queens we already have. So if you go on facebook.com/thequeensofdrag, we just put the page up 2 weeks ago. We already have like 5,100 fans, and so we're trying to really market it and get this whole fan base going. And
So
we already have 3 different networks that we're in discussions with once we have the product out. So hopefully, I mean, in the TV world, and as you well know, you've talked to a lot of industry professionals, nothing's set in stone until it's on the television, and I've been to that experience before.
Yes.
But we've gotten really great feedback, so, you know, fingers crossed.
Oh, well, I'm telling you, since you've been on my show, Question Reality, it's definitely going to happen. Somebody's going to hear about it and call you for sure. Well, I think it was they've got every type of reality show. Why not a show about drag queens? And that is such for some people, it's very taboo. So I think that a lot of people secretly would love to watch this show because it's still a mystery for some, especially people in the Midwest, you know, who shuck corn and do cheese and all that. So it would be a perfect opportunity for them to delve secretly. They can turn all the lights out and delve secretly into the world of drag. And you know that some of those bitches dress up in the privacy of their home and go out and rake those cows like there is no tomorrow. They
work. Whoa, lady.
Come on now, you know it's true. So they could watch your show and enjoy it, right?
Well, the thing that's actually really cool about it is RuPaul had Drag Race, and it was a competition show, and about, you know, and they all had challenges, and ours really isn't about that. It's about, you know, how hard it is and how talented these people are, and it's really an art form, and we, you know, and actually how difficult it can be, because they don't make a ton of money unless they get really famous, and it's really a struggle in New York, and it's like, imagine showing up for a job where, you know, you have to stay up until 4 a.m. every night and work in the bars and bring all these wigs and heels, and it's major. So it's really interesting how they're about all their lives. It's really, I hope it's going to be amazing. So
well, I for one will be a watcher, and you better let me know if it gets on television. I'm sure I'm going to find out about it. I think I'm one of the fans on the Facebook page. So
quick,
we got 1 minute, Jack. Let me know what you want to talk about, and let's do it in 1 minute, baby doll.
1 minute. Oh my God. Just have people visit my website, livingpositivebydesign.com. I'm doing a ton of stuff for World AIDS Day. We have really cute video widgets I've done on the cities that we visited with the program. Go on the Facebook page and join the Queens of Drag NYC. We love to have fans and comments. We're always putting up great content on there.
Don't you host a weekly internet radio show?
I do. I'm doing it right after this, actually. It's blogtalkradio.com/ POZIAM. It's POZIAM. And we talk about, tonight we're interviewing the CEO of Gay Men's Health Crisis, which is a huge AIDS service organization here. I'm doing a ton of stuff for World AIDS Day, which is December 1st. Mm-hmm. I'm a busy little beaver.
You are. So, Jack, can I please say that Jack will come back next year?
Oh, of course. Anytime.
Jack, I have to have you back. And can you send me an autographed picture? And could you put some could you put some red lipstick on and kiss it for me, too?
Of course.
Well, I'm gonna hold you to it. Okay, we've had Jack McEnroth on. He's going to come back next year. Whenever you feel free, you have an open invitation. And if you have anything exciting you want to talk about, you just call me up and say, girl, I want to come on your show. And I'm going to send you a piece of hair. I'm going to send you some. Thank you so much, Jack. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
So, JackMcEnroth.com. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we will be back next week for Question Reality. Listen to us, and you are going to be excited for sure because we got another exciting guest. Bye!
Do you need a website but don't think that you can afford one? Do you dread the thought of even doing the research to find a company that you can afford? Do you cringe because you know that the person you talk to will try to sell you more than the advertised price? At Design on a Dime websites, we pride ourselves in being able to design original, professional, efficient, creative, and extremely affordable websites. Your website design will load fast, be customized to fit your needs and vision, and be presented in a clear, concise, and easy-to-read format with user-friendly link navigation. We challenge you to find a company that has lower prices and better customer service with beautiful, original designs. So, gather some dimes together and call us today at 213-687-6903 or visit us on the web at designonadime.us for your personal consultation with a very friendly representative who will be able to give you a great website that fits your budget.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.